They had some losses. They had some amazing strengths. They had some weaknesses. But Peter went through the journey, their faith journey. He went through the call God had in their lives to learn about how they went about things. And so if you haven't heard those two messages, I do recommend that. We do have them on podcast, so you look on the website to find that. But one thing I think is awesome about Joshua and Moses is that they were faithful. They were faithful to God. They were faithful to their calling. Yes, they had their mistakes, but overall, they were faithful. Faithfulness is difficult for some, and it's easy for others. You know, there's the crazy faithful people. The craziest faithful people out there, I would describe them as the sports fanatics. Sports fans are probably the craziest form of faithfulness that is out there. I might get myself in trouble with this one, but if you're a Blues fan and you're going to suit up in your Blues when the state of origin comes around and root and believe that they're going to win, you might be labeled a little crazy because it's been a few years. But it's all right. I consider myself a crazy sports fan. Or there's stadiums that are 80,000 seat stadiums. You have fans going and below freezing weather to watch a game. That's your crazy American football fans. So there's crazy faithful people out there. But then the stories of faithfulness that I love is when I hear stories of married couples being married for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And you can just look at them and know that there were some great times and some low times, but moments where they had to remain faithful during some tragic times. But you know it's a story of faithfulness because they're still together. Through thick and thin, through good and bad, they stuck it out. Then you have people that are really loyal to their job. I have a friend that had snow up to his waist in his driveway. And so in order to get his truck out of his garage, he had to dig himself out. But he made it to work. He's crazy too. But faithfulness is one of those things that it's loyalty. You're committed to something. But this morning, I want to focus on God's faithfulness. Not our faith, not our faithfulness, not what we can do, but God's faithfulness and how He is faithful and always been faithful. I love reading the Bible. I love diving into a passage of Scripture. I love taking a small passage and dissecting every aspect of it, researching everything around it, and spending hours on just a real small passage. I remember one time in school, I had to write a 14 to 15 page paper on four verses in the Bible. It sounds crazy, but the research to me was phenomenal. Piecing it together was so much fun. Now, the formal aspect of having the proper grammar and the perfect paper, that's never fun. But the research part, I just absolutely love seeing every little bit and how it fit together. Me and my wife, she loves art. She actually got her degree in art, her bachelor's degree in art. And so when we go to a museum, she's kind of broadened my hobbies, which is really good. It's a great thing about a spouse. I normally didn't go to art museums, but when I've met her, she showed me a new world to art. And so we go and we look at a painting, and she's like, "Oh, come up close. Look at the details." She would describe to me the way different colors made the color that I was seeing, or the way, or the brush or stroke that the painter used formed this part of the painting. Like, I can't remember all the details, but she would describe all these details. And I'm like, man, this is fascinating. But another thing I enjoy doing when I go to a museum is taking a step back, looking at the big picture, and just seeing everything pieced together, not trying to pay attention to every detail, but just seeing the big picture. And I really enjoy doing that with the Bible too. Like, sometimes, yeah, it's great to dissect the passage, but sometimes to take a step back and remember that the Bible itself is one big story from beginning to end. A story about God and His creation. A creation going bad, but then a God that is faithful and committed to restoring His creation. And so today, we're going to take a step back, look at God's faithfulness in the grand narrative, the big story of the Bible. So we got about 2 hours to go through this. So in the beginning, you think I'm joking? In the beginning, God created... No, I am joking. Don't worry about it. We will get out in time. But no, in the beginning, God did create an extraordinary creation. He created creation that He was pleased with, that He loves, that He was satisfied with. He created beings, humanity, to tend and take care of that. created them in His own image. And this beautiful setup was there. He gave them paradise to live in. Gave them a path to live their life by. And He gave and pointed out the one thing that can mess things up. We all know when you point out the one thing to someone not to do, the only thing they can focus on is doing that one thing. But God sets us up, this beautiful creation. But unfortunately, we all know how Adam and Eve went against God's instructions, went against His teaching. Was disobedient. And then sin entered into the world. Humanity was tainted. Death entered the world. Creation did not have that perfect relationship with God anymore. Restoration was needed. But what is awesome is, jumping forward a few chapters, you know, we got to get through this, to chapter 12 in Genesis. Something beautiful happens. God starts something special. Let's read this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household. For the land that I will show you, I will make you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." God was never going to give up on His creation, even though sin ran rampant. I mean, Genesis 3 to 11, it's just chaos. But God wasn't going to give up on His creation. He was faithful to it. And He calls Abraham, and He has a plan in Abraham to bless all the families in the world. And that plan comes to its climax through Jesus Christ, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I think it is remarkable, again, how God remains faithful. He didn't just discard His creation, humanity, because humanity ceased to be faithful to Him. But He calls Himself, gathers a nation, as we know as Israel, the Jewish people, to be that blessing. It says in Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. I'll just summarize it a little bit. But he says that He calls them to be a nation of priests. Yes, within Israel there was the Levites that were the priestly group. But the nation themselves, God refers to them as priests. They were His representatives here on earth to represent Him to the other kingdoms, to the other false gods that these people worship, that He was the true God. And God was committed to this. Unfortunately, we see in the Old Testament that Israel was not always faithful to God. They had their amazing moments, but they also had their failures. At any moment in time when they were kind of veer away from the path or veer away from their calling or the purpose that God had for their life, God would send prophets to warn them. He'd send prophets to try to get them back on track. Unfortunately, they didn't always listen. And as a result of their disobedience, their lack of faith, they were exiled. They were sent from their lands. But again, God had made promises to Abraham. God had made promises to Israel as a people that He was going to bless the nations through them, that He was going to restore the relationship with all of humanity through them. So He had made these promises that were important. And what I think is amazing is that there's nothing that can hinder God from fulfilling His promises. I love this in Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. It says, "What does it matter then if some weren't faithful?" It's talking about Israel right now. "Their lack of faith won't cancel God's faithfulness." Again, their lack of faith won't cancel God's faithfulness, will it? Absolutely not. God must be true, even if every human being is a liar. So in the Old Testament, we see these promises that are in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Psalms, Zechariah. We see these promises that God makes to His people, that He makes to the world, that He will restore it, that He will set up His kingdom, that He will establish His ruling reign. He will establish a new covenant. and that His glory would return. When He makes these promises, we know He will be faithful, and that He will fulfill them, and that nothing can keep Him from doing so. Nothing can get in His way. I just find that remarkable. I find that fascinating, that God is just so faithful. It just impacts my life in a way that it's hard to describe in words. And so the fast track, you know, we won't do the 2 hours like I said, but the fast track, let's get to the time of Jesus. During the time of Jesus, the Jews were expecting God to act. As I mentioned earlier, they had been exiled. And so they're in a foreign land. Well, by the time Jesus came around, Israel had returned back to their land. So they were back in their homeland. But, for a lot of you know, the Roman Empire was in control. So, yeah, practically they were back from exile. But in all reality, they really didn't feel like they were really back from exile. They were still expecting God to do something, to move. And then Jesus came on the scene. Jesus came to fulfill all those prophecies. Yes, He came in a way that a lot of the Jews did not expect, but He came teaching about the kingdom of God, teaching about the kingdom of heaven. He was healing the sick, the blind, the lame, forgiving people for their sins. I know this is not new news, but He came doing this. And He would say, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you when someone was healed. So the kingdom of heaven, God's glory is His power, His restoring power, His love. Jesus went around teaching about His kingdom through the parables, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 are great places to read about this. Jesus predicted His death. When He had a conversation with Pilate before He was about to go to the cross, He told him that, "My kingdom is not compared to the kingdoms of this world, but I've come to be a witness to truth." God was establishing His kingdom here on earth. He was establishing His ruling reign through Jesus. He was fulfilling all those prophecies that we saw, that we can read about in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Psalm, Zechariah, and Malachi, which is fascinating. All this is coming to its culmination, coming to its climax. And Jesus, all the way back from the promise from Abraham. Man, that is consistency. That is commitment to a promise made a long time ago. And then Jesus died, defeated death, and ushered in a new creation. And then called His disciples to spread the good news. What I think is fascinating is within Judaism, the temple was center, was the focal point of their worship. It was a place that they believed heaven and earth intersected. It's a place that God filled His presence, filled His glory with. And so when they were exiled, not only were they sent to a foreign land, God's presence left the temple. And so one of the expectations they had was the coming of God's glory would be God would refill His temple with His glory. And then most of the Jews during the time of Jesus believed that He had not done that yet, that was still yet to come. So they are looking for God's glory to come. And that glory came again in Jesus. But what is fascinating about when that glory came is the way it came. It didn't come back and just fill a sacred place. No, God came with His glory through Jesus Christ to fill us with His presence, to fill us with His glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "So then if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away. And look, new things have arrived." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Don't you know that you have the Holy Spirit from God?" Fascinating. And then Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I just love this verse so much. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith, indeed, by the faithfulness of God's Son, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I'm going to read that verse again because I like it that much, if you don't mind. Again, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith, indeed, by the faithfulness of God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. By the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, every prophecy was fulfilled. By the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, we have new life in him. By the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, his glory has been poured back out in a way that exceeded any expectation in the first century. This is fascinating. The faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ is the reason we have life today. And Christ is in us. That is truth. God's ruling reign, his kingdom, speaks truth beyond anything else in this world that we live. And all of this, again, is through Christ. And I think Luke chapter 24 through 44 through 48 is a good summary of this. And this is Jesus after he is resurrected and before he ascends. So this is that little in-between time he has. And he's meeting with his disciples. And he says, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations.'" All nations, a promise of Abraham, beginning from Jerusalem. "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you by staying in the city until you are clothed with power from high, on high." The promise of sending the Holy Spirit, which we know in Acts chapter 2, was fulfilled and happened. So our mission is to share about the faithfulness of God. Our mission is to share about God's kingdom. We are in this series, Faith That Shakes, as we go into 2014. We have big things ahead as a church. Yes, individually we are called to take part in God's work, but also as a body, we're called to establish God's kingdom, establish his ruling reign, establish his love. So in the media, when we see these horrendous stories of hatred, of abuse, Christ is the answer. His faithfulness is our encouragement and understanding who he is to give us the strength to carry that answer into these dark places. Next week, we will continue on with this series, and I will be continuing on. And next week, one of the things I want to focus on is how God is faithful in equipping us and empowering us to spread his kingdom here on earth. And we'll focus on what that actually looks like practically in our lives, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in all our relationships. But today we're focusing on God's faithfulness and how that impacts our life. And how he's remembering how God is faithful. And when we remember that he is loyal, and we remember that he is committed to his word because he has a perfect track record, which in a really brief bit, we just looked at his track record. We just looked at him being faithful at all the promises. We just looked at how Christ was faithful. And it's through his faithfulness that we have life and Christ is in us. Through that faithfulness, we can have confidence in what we read in Scripture. We have confidence what we read. It's true to us. And so when I read in John that Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in me will live," I believe it. I believe what is said because God is faithful. When Scripture says that I am a new creation, that the Holy Spirit lives in me, I believe it because God is faithful. And Titus chapter 3, it says, we are washed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. When I read that in Scripture, I believe it because God is faithful. When Scripture says that I am a son of God, that I'm a part of his family, that I have a place in his family and a part to play, and that we're all saints and we're all called to share his message, I believe what he says because he is faithful. And next week, as we look into how he empowers us and equips us to do so. I believe I'm empowered and equipped to do so because he is faithful. And when his word says something, I believe it. Because again, he has that perfect track record. I love reading the Bible. I love God. I love Jesus. I am passionate about the Lord. This is an honor to be able to stand up and share a message like this, because to me, there's nothing greater. Because we serve a faithful God. And to be able to share with you just some encouraging words to remember that God is faithful is an honor and is exciting. I'm excited to be back to be able to do this from my trip. I thought about it all trip. I'll leave you with this. The more I understand the faithfulness of Jesus, personally, the stronger my love and confidence in him and in his word grows. And I don't know about you, that's the same for you. But the more I understand his faithfulness and how he is faithful and the proof of his faithfulness in Scripture, the more my confidence and love for him and his word grows. And then in return, it creates this stronger motivation, passion, confidence, and boldness to take part in his work. This series on faith that shakes, it's about understanding our faithful God, understanding the calling that God has on our lives, and being bold and confident to be part of that. So if you don't mind standing as I'll pray, I'm going to invite the music team up for one more song. But I want to pray that this week you can reflect on God's faithfulness, that this week God will bring to remembrance some areas in your life that he's been specifically faithful to, and things that you may be struggling with, things that you may be going through, or things that you may be doubting, that you have the confidence in God's faithfulness. And if you have never felt that you were good enough or equipped or had the ability to take part in God's work here on earth, spreading his love, remember, you are filled with his glory. You are filled with his presence, and he is calling you to it, and he is faithful. Because he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. And that's something we can hold on to. So Lord God, we are thankful for who you are. We love you so much for your faithfulness. As Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. You live in us, God. And we are grateful for that life that we now have in our bodies. That we live a life by faith. And it's because of your faithfulness. It's because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So faithful that he went to the cross. So faithful that he died for us to give us new life. So God, we love you. And I just ask you that you just help us this week to remember your faithfulness. And anytime we're going through something difficult, that you give us the strength to look to you, to look to your perfect track record. In Jesus' name, amen.